All right. Well, good morning. So good to be with you. Honored that you are here this morning to worship the Lord with us at Every Nation Tallahassee. And can you believe it is the last Sunday of 2019? The year has flown by. And man, if you haven't finished your goals for 2019, you got about 3 days left to do it. So you better get on it. And I know this can be kind of maybe an interesting or awkward time of the year in regards to church, because we get in holiday mode, Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year, and with that, kind of relax and unwind, which is rightfully so. That's what you should be doing. I try to unplug my brain, if that is at all possible, and just try to get refreshed and renewed. But we also, as a church, as church leaders and servants, we have to gear up and get ready for the new year, right? So we're praying and seeking the Lord, and God is speaking so many exciting things and new things that he wants to do in us and through us. And so we're kind of in this interesting time where it's like, I'm in a little bit of relaxed, chill mode, but we're also in like preaching prophetic. The new year's upon us. God's speaking. He's going to do great things. Get ready. You with me?
Yeah.
So here we are today. So I'm going to try to speak a little bit prophetically to us, hopefully encourage you as individuals to think about the new year and the new things that God wants to do in your life, but then also speak to us corporately as a church and what he wants us to really stand for. And not only a new year, 2020 is not only a new year, but it's a new decade. It's a new decade, and so I'm claiming that it's going to be the most fruitful decade of our lives, no matter where you're at in your life. If you're in your teens, 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, it's going to be the best decade of your life, the most fruitful decade of your life. And so I'm believing. Anybody want to believe that with me? Anybody want to stand in faith with me on that one? And it's going to be by God's coming out of great faith into his amazing grace, which empowers us to walk in his purpose and his plan for us. And so I received a great honor about a month ago. A friend of mine named Marty Stubblefield. Marty was one of the kind of a key Christian figures here in town. He actually was working for the Capital Prayer Project, it was called, and its mission was to is to connect pastors with representatives in our government when they're in session here in town. And our church participated in that last year, where we will be participating in that again, going to our Capitol, building relationships with our representatives, just being there for them, being a safe place for them. If they need someone to pray with them, if they need counsel, anything like that, we make ourselves available to them while they're here in session. And Marty asked me about a month ago. He's getting ordained in ministry, and he's a part of Celebration Baptist Church. And he asked me to be one of the guys to come stand with him today and pray over him. And I just thought that was a great honor, to be someone who is not in his local church, but to be someone who he would think enough of to be able to stand with him and pray with him. That's an incredible honor. But more importantly than that, it's what I want our church to represent in this city, to be a church that stands with other churches in the purpose of God for Tallahassee, and to be a church that serves our city, serves the body of Christ, serves our city. And we really define that in kind of the five C's, where we have our campuses, we have our community, our families, we have our corporations, our businesses, we have our churches, and we have the capital. And so God's giving us opportunity to have influence in this city. And so it's not always by the amount, I don't believe it's by the amount of people that sit in chairs on Sunday, but it's what it is that you do with your faith during the week to have influence. And God's called us to reach a city, God's called us to reach nations, and the next decade, I believe we're going to see God restir that and do that in us again. And so excited about that. Let's pray. Father, open up our hearts as we receive your word this morning. Speak to us. And Lord, we just pray, God, that you'd give us hearts to hear and hearts to understand, ears to hear and eyes to see what it is you're doing as we enter into a new year and a new decade, Father. Let us be obedient. Let us be willing. Let us be unified, Father. For Lord, when you find obedient, willing, unified people, God, there's nothing, nothing's impossible for what it is that you can do in us and through us, Lord. So we're believing for big things in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to read four scriptures that I believe are prophetic for us and kind of a summation of really the last 6 months in our church of what God has been speaking to us. God's got great things for us. God's called us to reach people who don't know him. God's got a harvest for us to go out and reap. That's another way of saying that, a scriptural way of saying that. And as we've learned throughout the semester that where the harvest is, it's guarded by great warfare and great battle. There's weeds, there's thorns, there's rocks, there's an enemy who sows and tries to destroy and kill the harvest. And as we have been entering into this new year, as Pastor Ben mentioned, there's been great resistance or great oppression to try to keep us from fully coming into what it is that God has for us. And so we're not going to let our feelings, we're not going to let our circumstances, we're not going to let any of those things dictate how we respond. We're going to respond by faith and what it is that God's word speaks to us and who we're to be as a people and what it is that he's calling us to do. Man, that's good news, isn't it? That the TV, that my feelings, that the cough and phlegm in my chest isn't defining who I am today. God's word is, and what it is that he's calling us to be and to do. So the first one is in Isaiah chapter 42. I believe these are now words for us. This is what God the Lord says, the creator of heavens, who stretches them out and spreads the earth with all that springs from it, who gives breath to its people and life to those who walk in it. The Lord, who has called us in righteousness, he will take hold of our hand. Isn't that good news? With that, next slide, please. I will keep you and I will make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles. God's making us a covenant people, a unified people who are passionate about his purpose to be a light for others to see. People who don't know him to be a light, a community of light that represents who he is. To do what? To open up the eyes of those who are blind, to free captives from prison, to release from the dungeon those that are in darkness. In other words, God's called us to reach people who don't know him. He's speaking that to us. He's empowering us to do that. I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not yield my glory to another or my praise to idols. See, the former things have taken place, and the new things I declare, before they spring into being, I announce them to you. See, that's why I think this time of the year is so important, that as we're relaxing, unwinding, enjoying the holidays, that we do seek the Lord in prayer. That's why we're starting off the year in prayer and fasting and consecration, because we want to hear and know what it is that God's doing before he does it. He says that he's willing to announce them to us. Before I do what it is that I'm going to do, I'm going to let you know about it. What a great privilege that is. You know, we just have this simple responsibility to do what? To seek the Lord. And God, all throughout history, has always been looking for people that will seek them. See, the former things have taken place, the new things I declare. Before they spring into being, I announce them to you. So what has God been speaking to us? We've gone through the advance series that he wants us to advance. He wants us to be an unconquered people. We went through the Christmas series that culminated last Sunday, where I talked about in the Christmas story, God reminds us that he's the God who does what? He gives to us. He guides us. And he doesn't just guide us. When he calls us into his purpose, he is the good shepherd guiding us. But it says, even though I walk where? Through the valley of the shadow of death. He isn't just necessarily always having us stay in green pastures, though that's great. But there's a battle for souls. There's a valley of death that we walk through. He says what? My rod and my staff, they'll comfort you. They'll guide you. They'll lead you. He's the guide who guards. He's the God who guards along the way, and he's the God who governs. And in that, as I concluded, foaming at the mouth, reminding that he has given all authority, Jesus is, and in that, he gives it to his church, his people. And he wants us to be a people on the earth who walk and rule and reign and subdue it with his authority. So here's the next scripture for us. And what he's calling us to be, a now word, a now scripture. Therefore, if anyone's in Christ, he's a what? The new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That's us. He gave it to us. He is calling us to help lead people back to him. Though that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he's committed to us the message of reconciliation. What a privilege we have in stewarding this great ministry. We are therefore Christ ambassadors, not just sons and daughters, but the highest ranking diplomatic official that is left here on planet Earth to represent the affairs of the sovereign King of Kings and Lord of Lords of the universe. That is who we are. I want us to see ourselves as this. Don't, when you look in the mirror today, don't just see yourself of who you are and all the changes that you want to make. Look in the mirror and see yourself as an ambassador, a highest ranking diplomatic official sent by the sovereign King, the most powerful, the most mighty. We talked about the name of God. He's powerful, he's strong, he's mighty, and he, as Jehovah, is the God who's able to do everything he needs to do for his people. He's the strong, mighty, able God who is sending you to represent his business here on earth. All we have to be is faithful about his business. God will make his appeal through us. So this morning, there's an implore. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Good news. Be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God. Powerful. 2 Corinthians 6, 1 through 2. Then it goes in right to the next chapter. Again, a now word for us. The scripture. This verse of scripture isn't now no longer stuck right here in the book, right? Something is happening in this moment. Guess what's happening? It's leaping off the page and coming in your heart. Right now. You ready? It's coming in your heart. And when it gets in your heart, where does it go next? Up out of your mouth, right? And so here we go. As God's what? Co-workers. Co-workers. We urge you to not receive God's grace in vain. What's the year? Where are we starting off in our consecration? Amazing grace. We will realize through that week, I guarantee you, that God's grace isn't just to sit around. But God's grace does something. It empowers us. It empowers us in an identity, in a security, in a humility in Jesus. And a thankfulness and appreciation to be on mission for Christ. That's what real grace does. Grace is never passive, just as faith is. And it's active in us. And it's active through us. So there's an urging to not receive his grace in vain. We're going to have a whole week of where God's going to be pouring out his grace upon us. For he says, now in the time of my favor, I've heard you. And in the day of my salvation, I have helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. Say now with me. When is now? When? Right now, right? Not tomorrow, not next year, not 2021 or whatever else. Today. Today is the day God's saying, I'm looking upon you with favor and I'm going to pour out my grace upon you so that my salvation will be known through you. Last scripture here in regards to now scriptures prophetically for us to sum up what God's been speaking over the semester, preparing us to go into the new year. Don't you have a saying? It's still 4 months until the harvest. I tell you, open up your eyes. Look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest now. Now. That's a now word for us. The scripture jumping off the page, getting into our hearts. You know, it's important that we begin the year with a win. We must begin with a win. We must define what the win is for us as individuals and what it is for us as a church. And you know, when you think about life, when it comes to defining the win and understanding that, it can be very difficult at times. Think about it. I mean, when you live life during the day, you don't have a crowd following you, cheering you on. I mean, wouldn't it be nice to wake up in the morning and have someone say, good morning, and have a crowd, welcome, you're up, you're the greatest, you can do it. This mission before you, all these scriptures being read to you, you're an ambassador, you're a world changer, you're going to go do great things today. Here's what it is you're supposed to do. Yay, 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 go do it. Wouldn't that be nice? Some of y'all are saying, that'd be weird. Instead of waking up and going, oh my God, I got to do this and this and this, and just stressed out. There's no scoreboard in life. When you show up to a game, it's easy to tell who's winning. What do you look at? You look at the scoreboard. The score indicates who is winning. There's no clock. There's nothing to, man, how do I know? In other words, I'm doing what God's called me to do. Am I doing it? Am I being effective? Or am I just aimlessly wandering through life? And if there's anything that God desires for us going into a new decade, is that we hit the mark for which it is that he's created us. Scripture talks about God's people being select arrows. And when you do a study on that select arrow and how it's so finely made, it is made and designed so that when the warrior takes it and shoots it, it is created to hit its target and not miss it. In fact, one of the meanings of sin means that when you're in sin, you're missing the mark of what God created you to be and to do. God does not want us to miss the mark going into a new decade. And so it's important that we understand what the win is. You know, a while back, I was up at Titus Sports Academy, and a buddy of mine, Kez McCorvey. Kez used to play receiver at FSU, and Kez was known for his quickness and his agility and his route running. One of the quickest. I mean, he could change direction, move, and he was up there training his son. So he was doing, and Kez is close to my age, and he was doing different workouts and agilities with him, and I was watching Kez from a memory of watching him in a Florida State football uniform, and he was not moving the same way. And we began to laugh because I was like, man, Kez, I never imagined seeing you just not be able to be like, you know, Flash or Shazam and the way you change. And I said, time wins to all of us, doesn't it? Time wins. I said, I thought it didn't apply to me, but I realized it did. These joints remind me every day that it applies. And we began talking about that. Then we began quoting the scripture in Hebrews 9:27, just as it's destined for every person to die once, and then after that, to what? Face the judgment. In other words, time wins. We're all going to give account to our life. One day, we're going to stand before God and give an account. And in that moment, it's not going to be like, God expects us to know what it is that we're giving an account for. How unfair would that be? I mean, you'd be fired immediately as a teacher if you gave tests often on material that the students weren't prepared for or didn't know. You know, when you show up for a test in college or high school, whatever else, there's some understanding of what it is that you're being tested on, what it is you're giving an account for, what it is you're being judged or measured by. And if we get real honest with ourselves in regards to our faith so many times, we are aimlessly walking around a lot of times, wondering what God is doing in us and through us. No more! Happy New Year. No more, I say. I say no more. I say we are a people of passion on God's purpose, knowing exactly why we're here and what it is that we're supposed to do. That we throw out every other agenda. That we throw out every other ambition. And we say, God, here's our hearts. Here's our wills. Here's our minds. Align them according to your purpose. And let's do it together. And when people come together like that, a culture is created where Christ is manifested and the world is changed. We're not waiting on God. He's waiting on us. God says, now. Now is the day of my favor. Now is the day of my salvation. Now the fields are ripe with harvest. By my grace, I'm giving you the ability to be a co-worker as an ambassador for me. I will make you a light to the Gentiles. I will make you pull people from the dungeon out of darkness into my light. On and on and on, God speaks to his people. What it is we're created to be and to do. So personally, what is your win going into a new year and a new decade? Have you thought about it spiritually? You know, I have. And I'm making mine somewhat simple and making them relational as I go into a new decade. Spiritually, for me, I want to hunger for God more than I do a Haagen-Dazs ice cream bar. I want that to be real. I want to hunger for God more than I do my favorite foods. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst, Scripture says, for what? They will be filled. Emotionally, I want to delight in God's presence and his decrees. I want my emotions to be formed and shaped, my feelings to be defined by God's Spirit and God's love and God's Word, not by my circumstances or how I'm feeling today. Physically, I put get there, meaning one step in front of the other. I want to get to the gym and just keep putting one step in front of the other. If I do that, I'll accomplish my physical goal. I want to use any training time to help build relationships with others. Socially, I put build relationships by getting involved in other people's activities or interests. How do I do that creatively in this next year to build relationships? For marriage, I want to love and serve my wife and be the kind of person that she enjoys being around. I actually want her to be around me, enjoy being around me. I want her to be excited when I get home. For parenting, I want to be the kind of father that when my kids have a choice, they want to be around us. And that there's an environment created that they're willing to talk to us about anything, not just check the boxes of what they think we want to hear, but really talk about what's going on in their lives. How can I be a better parent in that way? Career, job, build relationships with the community of people that love and serve Jesus as a reflection of their love and service. Love and serve other people as a reflection of their love and service to Jesus. Those are some of the things I wrote in regards to trying to define a win. And you know, it's important that we do that. What about as a church? What's our win as a church? How about if we let Scripture define that? I love what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 19 through 23. What did he say his win was? In regards to freedom and the way he could use that freedom any way he wanted to, he said, though I'm free and belong to no one, I've made myself a slave to everyone to do what? To win as many as possible. That was his heart. That was his motive. To the Jews, I become like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I become like one under the law. Though I myself am not under the law, so to what? Win those under the law. To those not having the law, I become like one not having the law. Though I'm not free from God's law, but I'm under Christ's law. The great commandment to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. So as to do what? To win those not having the law. To the weak, I become weak to win the weak. I become all things to all people so that by all possible means, I might what? I might save some. You know what Paul's win for his life was? What was his win? What was Paul's win? That's a question you can answer. Paul's win was to win people. He said, I'll do anything in regards except to break God's laws. I'll do anything. I'll become anything. I'll engage people in such a way and get in their culture and get in their world and go through their customs and their activities or whatever else. I'll do what it is I need to do. I'll change. I'll become weak. I'll become strong. I'll become whatever I need to become for the sole sake of winning them to Christ. Because nothing's more important than when it's all said and done in regards to my sphere of influence is that I help win you to Jesus. My win is to win people. Powerful. And you know, as we go into the new year, it's important that we define what our win is. How about what Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 2:11? He said, we know when he had surveyed all that his hands had done, and what he had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless. Chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun. How many people are going to go into eternity like that when it's all said and done? So much of what we did was meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Nothing really gained under the sun. What's the point? Well, if you don't define what the wind is, you'll spend most of your life doing what? Chasing the wind. So what's it going to be in the new year and the new decade? Are you going to define the wind? Are you going to let God's wind be your wind? Or are you going to chase after the wind? Sure, we can learn the language. We can do our religious activities. But there's no transformation. There's no change. There's no real impact being made. I love what Proverbs 16:3 says, commit to the Lord whatever you do, he will what? Establish your plans. Proverbs 16:9 then goes on to say, in the hearts, humans plan their course, but what? The Lord establishes their steps. You know, it's so important that we seek the Lord, that we know what he's doing, that we have a plan, that we lay out a course of action. You know, when I used to run a lot, I would find myself quite frequently running with other people, and runners who like to run like to be competitive and see who can run the fastest. Well, one thing I learned early on is that whoever understood the course the best had the advantage in the race. And when I'd have new guys and they were younger and I thought, man, they might have a little bit of advantage because of their age or something, guess what I would do? I'd pick the course and not tell them what it was. And I'd save the hilly parts for the right peak times in the race so that all of a sudden when they thought maybe this is a time I can run a little bit faster, it'd be a hill or something. And I realized when I knew the course, I had the advantage. See, when we don't understand God's course, God's plan, where he's directing us, we're at a disadvantage. God doesn't want us to live that way. He doesn't want us to just chase after the wind. He wants us to be clearly defined what it is that he's called us to be and to do. Love what Paul says in Philippians. He says, not that I've already obtained all this. I've already arrived at my goal. But what? I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Wonder if we'll allow that sense of urgency to be stirred in us during our Amazing Grace consecration time. Why are we doing Victory Weekend? It's because we want anything that's not of us to be broken off of our lives so that all of who Jesus is can manifest in us and through us. Paul had that desire. Man, I don't consider that I've already arrived, that I've already attained, but man, I'm pressing on. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what's behind, 2019's behind us, straining towards what's ahead, press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God's called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. You know, another thought in defining the win for us is if we don't define what the win is, guess what? Someone else will define it for you. Something is defining for your life what it is that you're giving your life to. That's exactly what Solomon was saying. Man, gave my life to all these things, but when I looked at the end of it, it was meaningless. It was a chasing after the wind. If you don't define it, you'll allow someone else to define it for you. And this is so important because here's the key, leadership talk right here. This is leadership talk. Again, if you read leadership books, study leadership, the ones who continue to go on to higher levels of leadership in their life, they've all learned this, that one of the keys in their life is not saying yes to things, but it's knowing what to say no to. And you cannot know what to say no to unless you clearly know what the win for your life is. It's knowing what to say no to. Because there's opportunities, things out there to distract, especially in today's world. The key is knowing what it is to say no to. I see Paul, that kind of guy. This one thing I do. I bet Paul was a guy when you were around him that he said no a lot. My boys learned early on that guess who they go to? They go to mom first and Nana second to get what they want. Dad last, because dad has no problem saying two-letter word, no. No. Again, want. Now, something they need, yes, no problem. But once, all the time, no, it's easy. No. The answer is no. Say that with me, everybody. No. What is it this year that you need to say no to? Look, we don't want our good ideas. We want God's plans for our lives. Many are the plans in our hearts, but it's the Lord's purpose that prevails. Commit your plans to the Lord. Know what it is, in other words, to say no to, and what? He'll establish your steps. Your good idea isn't as good as you think it is. Somebody else has already tried it, and it didn't work. Not to say that God's not going to stir creative things and all that. I'm not saying that. What I am saying is God's got something very specific for us to do. It takes wholehearted focus and commitment. Paul talked about there in that scripture. And lastly here, I love in 1 Corinthians 15 in regards to just the resolve to win, where he says in the scripture, you pulling it up, guys, on the screen. He says, don't you know, or excuse me, 1 Corinthians 9, 24. He says, don't you know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Do what? Run in such a way to get the prize. You know, there's a difference between a jog and a running in such a way to win the prize. Paul said, run in such a way to actually win. A whole different in regards to effort, focus, training, all of that. He said, everyone who competes goes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last. But we do it to get a crown that would last forever. We should be the most committed people on planet Earth because our crown is the crown that is the most significant. Our reward, the glorifying the Lord, is the most important thing that we live for. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body, make it a slave, so that after I've preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. You know what? What's that mean? It means that there's a price to pay to win. There's a price to pay to win. Never changes. It never changes. You know, we live in a world where you get trophies and prizes for participation, for just showing up, for paying the league fee. That's not reality. That's not how it works in God's kingdom. See, God doesn't give you things to steward and say, do whatever you want with it, and no matter what you do with it, your reward will be just as equal as everyone else's. It's not the parable of the talents. He says, I give you something to steward, and if you don't steward it well, I do something. What does Jesus do? He takes it from you. And not only that, but he reprimands you to a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. Doesn't sound like a place I want to go, okay? So he takes it from you when you don't steward it well. And then what does he do with it? He takes it to the person who has the most and doing the best in their stewardship and gives it to them. Because he's smart. Oh, you're stewarding it well and you have the most. I'm going to give you more to steward. That's what he does. And so the thought that, you know, we all, you know, we can all just kind of show up and collect some knowledge and then just passively or fearfully live out our life in faith and have a great expectation of reward in the kingdom of heaven, it's deception. It's deception. Read the red letters in the Gospels. Read the parables. Jesus, I mean, they're amazing because he would use the parables to teach. This is what the kingdom's really like. Here's what it's like. He would sum it up. This is the kingdom. This is how it works. This is how it operates. These are the principles in it. It's powerful. And so God's given us a stewardship. And at the end of his life, what was so powerful is Paul knew that he had stewarded what it is that God had given to him. He had done it well. Well, what's it take to pay the price? It takes preparation. You got the scripture for that one? Always be prepared, right? To everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. Next one. Let's work through these real quick. Preparation it takes. Self-discipline is the next one. Paul reminded Timothy, God didn't give you a spirit of fear or timidity, but he gave you a spirit of power, love, and self-discipline. What else does it take? Training. Man, it takes training. Got to be trained. Everyone who competes, we read, goes into strict training, the scripture says. Next one, right? Strict training. Grace. We need God's grace. Grace. Grace to work hard. Paul said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace to me was not without effect. But no, I did what? I worked harder than all of them. Yet not I, but what? The grace of God that was with me. Hard work, intentional work, sowing seed, watering it into people's lives to see a harvest. Persevering spirit. All throughout Scripture, watch your life and your doctrine closely, Paul told Timothy. Persevere in them, because if you do, you'll save what? Both yourself and your hearers. Perseverance. You need to persevere so that after what? You've done the will of God, you will receive what was promised. When do we receive the promise? If we do the will of God? No, after we've done the will of God. You know, Paul had a concern. He had a concern. This is Apostle Paul. He's writing the Bible that we read. He's seeing the world transformed in his witness for Christ. And he said, you know, there's a concern in my life. And this concern is that somehow I would be disqualified for the prize. What disqualifies us for the prize? Comfort? Complacency? Compromise? Cowardice? Fear? Let me tell you this. I believe in you. Jesus believes in you. Going into 2020. He trusts you to do his work. We trust you to do his work. You are empowered. God's not giving you a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, love, and self-discipline. You are ready to do what God's called you to do. You with me? You're ready. You're ready. You're entrusted. You're empowered. That's a now word for you. Now it's time to what? Do it. Do it. It's time to do it. Paul was writing to the church at Galatia, you know, and along the way, here's what we have to watch out for. Would you three guys stand up right here and just walk very slowly, because I'm not as fast as I used to be. Just stand in a line and walk this way, will you? Together at an even pace. Paul said, you're running a good race, but who cut in on you? Go, keep walking, guys. What am I doing? Huh? That's what all the distractions, right? All the things I've talked about, that's what they do in our lives. They cut and they keep us from being on the race, the track that God wants us to be on to win the prize, to win souls. What gets in our ways? Man, whether it's false doctrine, whether it's other thoughts, philosophies, beliefs, whether it's the distractions of lies, the deceitfulness of wealth, but just like that, it cuts in on us and keeps us from obeying the truth, from running the kind of race that God wants us to run. Thank you all so much for not running too fast so I could cut in on you. When it was all said and done, Paul said this, I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I've kept the faith. Now there's in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, but not only to me, but also to all who've longed for his appearing. Praise and worship team, come on up. Please, thank you very much. You know, one of the keys to good leadership is beginning with the end in mind. Here's the end. Finishing well, right? Standing before God. Jesus, he already has the clear list of your life, right? He has it. He's the Alpha, the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. It's not still being written for him. For us it is, but for him it's already being written. This is what you were created to be. This is what you were created to do. This is your account. Can you imagine actually getting there and knowing that what was written for me is what do I align my life to do? It was one and the same. That's the goal, right? That's the end. Man, I know there's an expectation when it's all said and done. There's not fear. There's not regret. There's not disappointment. There's a knowing that, man, I gave my life to do exactly what Jesus saved me to do. I know. There's an expectation. There's an excitement. You know, I live in this world, and in a crazy way, everyone's so fearful of death. What made Paul and the church so powerful is they didn't fear it. They considered it a great honor to go into it representing Jesus with an expectation of a better life and a better reward and better promises. What are we holding on to? What are we holding on to? What is so precious of this world that we must hold on to it? Nothing. We should be the most free. The most, like I said, the most free, the most committed, the most joyful people on earth, because we're going to something better. We understand the end. We know the result. We know what it is we're living for. And all we've got to do is align our life to it and live it. So, Father, I thank you for your word this morning. Help us, God, as we end one year and go into a new year. Help us to align our lives to your will. Lord, practically, what does that mean? It means participating in consecration weeks. It means, Lord, going through victory weekends. It means leading small groups. And Lord, it means being a witness taking people through one-to-one and using our faith and leading small groups, Lord, that's practically what it means. And it means being consistent and persevering in that, Lord, and trusting in you, God. And as we do that, Lord, we'll see a great harvest if we don't give up. So, Lord, I pray against complacency, and I pray against compromise. And Lord, I pray against just the comfort and the cowardice that keeps us from being fruitful and effective for you. Lord, as we sang this song, make me a vessel. Lord, that's our prayer this morning, not just our worship song, but our prayer, that we would be a vessel to where your new wine and your new spirit, the newness of your spirit for this new decade, could flow through us. Jesus' name. Anybody just want to stand in just a commitment going into the new year to the Lord? If so, I just standing saying, look, I'm not going to let any of those four C's define me going into a new year. I want this to be, you know, there's a price to pay. I want this to be a counting of the cost moment for us. You know, I don't want this to be just another sermon that we hear, more notes that we collect, but I want this to be a now word for us. So, Lord, as your people are standing, God, you know the hearts. Lord, we're trusting in your grace that would allow us to persevere and continue to labor and work in such a way that, God, your joy, the fruits of the Spirit would manifest through our lives. That, Lord, we'd really be effective and fruitful, what you've called us to be and to do, Lord. So we thank you for that, God. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Have a great rest of your 2019. Happy New Year to you going into 2020. Be kicking next Sunday off. We're starting our 2020 vision series next Sunday. So I'm going to give you four characteristics of what we need to be as people of God, what it takes to be like Jesus to accomplish his purpose for our life next week. So 2020 vision series being kicked off. Have a happy new year. I won't see you before then. We're going to take a few days off next week and go relax a little bit as a family. But we love you. God bless you. If you need anything, please let us know. Let's go into 2020. Storm in hell with a water pistol. God bless you.